Mini-episode 1859 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 2025 AFC South preview on the FDH Lounge. You have with you here today FDH Lounge original dignitaries, Rick Morris and Chris Galloway. And we're breaking down the South Division in the American Football Conference. I'll refer everyone back if you're looking for a little bit of a macro level view for the season. The first of the previews that we recorded was for the NFC East. So as is traditional, we cover a little bit of the macro level offseason stuff in the first divisional preview. The rest of them, we largely stick to the teams at hand in the division. The format for this is borrowed from Fantasy Football Draftology 2025, available on the main page of fantasydrafthelp.com. And the segment in the guide on page 17 is one run-on sentence for each AFC team. For the AFC South, this is the predicted order of finish by moi. Of course, Houston in first place, because who else would it be? If their team holds up in the trenches, then they are a very viable dark horse Super Bowl contender being slept on by everyone. Tennessee, don't look now, but the Titans have filled a lot of holes, and if the Texans suffer a wave of injuries that opens up the divisional title picture, then Tennessee could be right there. Indianapolis, a bleak QB room invites questions as to whether this team is tanking to draft the nephew of their greatest passer, at least the greatest passer of their Indy years. Jacksonville, even if Trevor Lawrence can still be salvaged and Travis Hunter can be a real difference maker on both sides of the ball, Jacksonville's roster still has way too many question marks. So this is a division where, again, I do like to talk about this when, like 2 years ago, I thought Houston was going to be better than just about anybody else. I had them picked for 8 wins, I think. I didn't have them winning the division or making it as a wild card or whatever they ended up doing that year. They did make the playoffs. I try to mention the times when I've been off a little bit here on things, and I'm going to give a little bit of a mea culpa because 2 years ago, I said this division is the stealth division on the rise. And that has just not materialized. I mean, it may still. I think Tennessee may be on their way back quicker than anybody else is. That's anybody else thinks. That's one of my clip and save predictions for the year. Don't have them as a playoff team, but much like Houston 2 years ago, Washington a year ago, I'm going out on a little bit of a limb there that they'll be better than anybody thinks. But this division, the 2 years ago, I thought really was on the rise. I have to say, in all humility, this is probably a made-up quote from Yogi Berra, but it sounds like something that he would say. They had a great future behind them, Chris.
It's a great way to put it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the Texans win this division with 8 or 9 wins. The default best team in that division. And then everybody else is just trash. Probably the Colts with Danny Dimes.
Ugh.
I think you find a way to win 8 or 7 or 8 games and be right there, but not good enough. So let's say they're a 7-8 win team. Let's say the Houston's a 9-win team. You're looking at the Jags with 6 wins and the Titans with probably 5 or 6 wins. I mean, I don't really feel good one way or another about Titans versus Jacksonville and where they might finish. They're going to be so close. The Titans still have a lot of holes and a lot of problems. I mean, they just waived Treylon Burks. You know, who was their first? I mean, they just like 2 weeks ago, they waived the guy that was supposed to replace AJ Brown.
Sure.
they seem to be lacking enough talent there and enough depth on offensive line. And Cam Wardle, he'll be better, right, than what they've had. But that, to your point, that team has still has a lot of holes. Jacksonville still has a lot of holes. A lot, you know, trading away year one to the Browns for next year. I know there were a lot of, we have friends and, you know, we kind of, even you and I got a little bit excited about the idea of maybe Travis Hunter on the Browns would be kind of exciting, you know? But I think in the end, if you were the Browns and you were offered a one in Mason Graham, that was the right call. It was just the right call.
I still don't know.
I think. I mean, I just feel like it was. The potential value there. I think Mason Graham is the real deal. Like we said in the draft show that night, and I pointed out, you know, from my automobile as I was driving back from Chicago.
Hilarious.
You know, if you want to help out Myles Garrett, the pick was Mason Graham, not Abdul Carter. And I stick by that. I think that's going to be proven out this year with the defensive line is going to be lethal. So I think from the Browns standpoint, it made sense, right? And Jacksonville is trying to make a splash. They're trying to get a weapon. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to shake it up. He's an exciting player. Let's see if he can play full time on both sides. I don't think he can. But, you know, is he going to be mostly defense with 15, 16 plays on offense? Is that enough to change their fate with all the holes they have? Probably not. And I think that Jacksonville pick that the Browns get will end up being a top 10 pick, you know, probably like the eighth pick in the draft or something. So the Browns are going to get a good player there. The Titans aren't there in terms of their roster. Jacksonville, I believe in their coach. He's a good coach, but they're not there. They have holes. The Colts quarterback situation is a mess on top of their roster holes. And so it's the Texans by default, right? I mean, it's just the Texans by default.
See, but I think Houston can pad their record enough off of the division such that, spoiler alert, I think they can get the one seed. I think the schedule is really going to help them an awful lot in that regard, and that might lead to some
raise. Can they be that good a team, though?
I do. Oh, boy, wait till we get to the playoff picks here. Wait till we get to the playoff picks in another segment here. But I will say, by the way, since you mentioned Myles Garrett, how he's going to be lining up with Graham for the Browns here, I forgot to mention as we were doing our AFC North preview here, but Myles Garrett retained by the Browns with that fat contract moving forward here. He, of course, lives out in the countryside out in Wadsworth there. One of the problems for the Browns over the years is that's a long-ass commute. Wadsworth to Berea, 45-minute commute, or 10 minutes for Myles Garrett, as we would say in town here. So that's been a problem for the Browns and may continue to be going forward.
I thought he lived out in Lorain County.
Somebody told me he's in Wadsworth. Yeah, so...
he was out like in Avon or something, but well, it doesn't.
And like, look, I've made that drive. I understand the man's impatience, but I'm not sure that's quite the way to address it. But that's, you know, that's another story for another day. But Jacksonville, yeah, I don't know. I still, again, Hunter's a guy to, you know, much like, you know, the situation with the Dodgers here, you know, you get a guy that can be an all-star on both sides of the ball, so to speak. I think you could be looking at the same thing potentially with Travis Hunter, and it's hard to really be able to put a price tag on that one. Tennessee, I guess I would throw in, now that they've cut bait on Burks, I would add that to their list of holes. But the remaining AFC team needs that I have here in Fantasy Football Draftology 2025 really was cornerback and defensive tackle. Now, what I will grant you is, again, I've made this point of comparison, much like New England last year, much like New Orleans this year, a number of things that trademark Lisa Simpson are merely cromulent on the roster here, and that, you know, not really technically a hole. It sounds like you and I might quibble as to whether or not some of these are holes. Some of the players are probably borderline, where we could agree to disagree on whether that's a hole or whether the guy is good enough. Tennessee is not at the point, and they may be a year from now at their rate of player acquisition, they may be at the point where New England is, because we've talked about this. New England has gotten to the point where they moved past the whole thing of like, okay, these guys are marginal. They were marginal non-holes. Now they're legitimate non-holes. And so a year from now, we may be looking at Tennessee's roster a little bit differently the way that they're going forward. But the remaining needs, like for Jacksonville in particular, safety, center, defensive tackle, I'd still say quarterback and inside linebacker. I'd say quarterback just as a hedge with Lawrence here because, again, I understand that they're kind of locked into this, but they're at the point now where I was giving the guy the benefit of the doubt for a long-ass period of time because I do feel a lot of times that people are a little bit too quick to pounce on some of the bonus baby quarterbacks and everything like that. But it has gotten to the point now where going out and getting like a Christian Kirk to be a standout wide receiver for him, I understand. But like now he's got Brian Thomas Jr. there. Like we're at the point with Lawrence where, you know, as the saying goes, blank or get off the pot, because there's no excuse for Lawrence not to look better than he is. Again, as the guy who was arguably the most coveted quarterback coming out since Andrew Luck, who ironically ran into his own issues as far as ever getting it done and ever getting to the Super Bowl and having a career that was cut short of what people thought it should be. Lawrence is at the point where, unlike in the case of Luck, where we put a little bit of an asterisk on it of like, well, what if he would have held up slash, and we could agree to disagree whether he retired prematurely or not. He felt like, you know, his body couldn't really take it anymore. But like with Trevor Lawrence, we're at the point where there won't be any asterisks at this point if he fails. It'll be because he did not live up to what he should be.
He's got a coach right now that knows how to handle a quarterback, and this is his best chance, right? To figure it out, get in a good system, and live up to the potential. To your point, if he doesn't do that this year, despite still some of the holes in that roster, Jacksonville has to consider just moving on and finding another QB and cutting Trevor off and sending him out into the ether for some other team to try to let him be a reclamation project.
Yeah, very possibly.
Because you're right, he's not living up to the hype. He's not even – he had one season where he kind of looked like what we thought he might be, and that's it. It's been nothing but regression. So, you know, if Cam Ward plays well, he might be the last place quarterback in that division. Well, he won't be the last place. He won't be as bad as Danny Dimes, but he'll be the third worst. He'll be the third best quarterback in a weak division. And if you're Jacksonville, you have to look at that and go, well, we're not winning anything with that, so we're gonna have to cut bait.
And I look at it again, remaining team needs in the division here for Houston. I still do have some concerns on the interior of the offensive line and also the interior of the defensive line, specifically tackle. So to me, if that ends up not being as much of an issue, then I think this team can go further than a lot of people do. And I look at it and I think they're incredibly, incredibly undervalued because they admittedly had a pretty unimpressive year last year. And I think it's one of these things where, as I said before, where I felt like people were premature in a way that they piled on Trevor Lawrence. And as time has gone on, that has sort of borne itself out. I don't think we've seen enough time to go by to where everybody's like, oh, gee, I thought C.J. Stroud was going to be really good after his rookie year, but clearly not the case. I think there's a lot of people that are sleeping on Houston, and I think, again, they're a team that they're sort of hiding in plain sight to me because there's only so many teams that you can really make a case for in the AFC, particularly when you look at the fact that Buffalo and Baltimore slip on a banana peel every year in the playoffs. So, I mean, a team like Houston that doesn't have that stigma to them and is still young and growing, I kind of don't get
it. Playoff prediction coming? Is that what I'm about to hear about the Texans? Because unlike you, I'm not going to downplay the weakness in the center in those two lines. The weak play in the middle of that offensive line and in that defensive line is going to be problematic for them as the season goes on. But they're going to win the division. They're going to get to the playoffs, and then anything's possible. But I don't see anything potential out of that team other than maybe making the second round of the playoffs. I don't see an AFC championship game in their future.
Boy, are you going to be shocked at my prediction? Let's just say
Ooh, I love it. Teaser.
Home field can get you a lot of things here. Well, and here's the thing, here's the beauty of it.
Teaser.
We have one more division to go before we get to our playoff preview for the year. I got a real jaw dropper coming in the AFC West. I'll tell you that too. So I have one there. So I didn't know how much you and I were going to be shaking it up this year, but thus far we've got you saying the Giants for first place in the NFC East, the Bengals for last place in the AFC North. I'm saying the Patriots for the playoffs out of the AFC East. I'm saying that Tennessee is going to be the second place team in this division, and I'm saying that Houston is going to be good enough that they could be in play for home field for the whole AFC. So, any thoughts that I had that we might be playing it
I
safe this
like that
year out the
I
window?
like that you and I aren't on the same page this year. And again, I came into these with you this year wanting to throw some bold stuff out there, right? Look, let's all be honest. We can both be wrong as hell, right? But what fun is chalk?
True. And it's like, and look, if I believe the chalk, I'd be going with it. I just go where my eyeballs take me. And sometimes my eyeballs see things that other people don't see. And as I've tried to be fair about this over the course of the show, I do think more times than not, I've been right. I have been wrong in some instances. 2 years ago, I said this was a division on the rise. Pfft, way wrong about that one. I'm not even gonna
You were
you,
right when you were one of the few people, very, very few, saying, watch out for the Texans.
2 years ago, yeah. And but again, that's the funny thing.
You were the only person I knew that 2 years ago said, watch out for the Texans.
Yeah,
Because
and
that same
like,
year, I picked them for dead last in that division. So you were
well, and
right, and I was very wrong.
And that's the thing. A lot of what I do is just from looking at the overall state of the roster and the way that they've done in terms of filling holes. They had been on a great run coming into that season as far as filling holes, as had been Washington a year ago. It's easy to just look at both of those teams, CJ Stroud, Jaden Daniels. Oh, that's the reason. But no, neither one of those teams would have been in the playoffs had they not had a much more balanced roster than they had the previous year. So these are the things that I try to look for. And like I said, sometimes it takes me in directions that nobody else is in. I have a feeling that's going to happen with the AFC West. There's a good teaser for that one here. But for the AFC South, it is for a division that is mediocre at best. And that is exceedingly kind on our part. It's been a lot more fun breaking it down than it ever had a right to be. But given that I was doing the segment with you, Chris, not a surprise. Thank you very much, Chris Galloway. Thank you, everyone, for checking out our 2025 AFC South preview. Coming up next, it's the 2025 AFC West on the FDH Lounge.